Well, I want to share a bunch of things with you. One of them is a revelation that was given to Shalonda Kelton, and we called it World Nazism Separating Sheep from Goats. She said, in a dream, David was preaching to the people in a courtyard about sin and repentance. In the dream, the sky was grayish color, like a storm was coming. Well, I have an advantage here. I've read the rest of the revelation here, and I can tell you that the wicked among the church and the government are rising up against the righteous all over the world. Satanism, through witchcraft, faction, hatred, slander, lying, murder, assassination, false flags, rioting, threats against all who oppose them are being manifested in them. And it's a new Nazism, and it's false prophet media, which hates God's people and the republic and democratic forms of government, especially. And this is, of course, proven by their willingness to destroy all who disagree with them instead of letting the people vote their conscience and according to law without cheating. They don't know how to do it without cheating, killing, doing all the things that they normally do. Yes, it is the demonically manifested Nazism. Okay. And Shalonda went on to say, furthermore, I knew that this storm was a separation between the goats, people who wouldn't follow Jesus, and the sheep, people who would follow Jesus. David and Lakeisha and I made a map to show people. The map was brown. Well, brown is Nazism's color. The brown shirts. But now it's a world Nazism, right? And she said there was a metal frame around it. I believe this is representing bondage. The ten toes, or horns, if you will, in another parable. The ten toes of the image of the beast was iron, which is metal, and clay. Iron for the UN, Worldwide Roman Empire, One World Beast Empire, which these people are pushing, and clay for the Islam that spread among them. And both Nazism and the Roman Empire had the symbol of the eagle. And, you know, Nazism was famous for false flags. And so is this head of this eagle here, you know, very good at it. And she said the map was against a stone wall and to the right. And, you know, stone wall is a word that means to stubbornly stand against. They don't give up. that's been our experience with factious, you know, people that are normally minded, if they fall out with you, they just go away. Not the factious. They want to chew on your ankle and they want to stay there. That's those spirits. They're stonewallers, you know. And you see that the people out there are not giving up on this election. They're just radically far left, mean to the bone. People that are advocating killing Trump and all these other things, you know. So it's stubbornly standing against the will of the people. They had to cheat to try to destroy the will of the people because they don't believe in freedom and they don't believe in democracy, okay? She said it had Israel, which is a type of the church, at the bottom. Now, I believe this means under its dominion. At the moment, that's true. With a country on the right side and another country on the left side of Israel. On the map, the countries were a little bit above, but separated from Israel. Well, Israel here, I believe, is the Israel of God, meaning the church, and those of natural Israel who are grafted back in to the church, back into their olive tree worldwide. And Romans 2 and 28 says, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly." I don't know why people can't figure this out. It's just so simple. It's in the black and white. "He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And Galatians 6 and 16, and it says, "And as many as shall walk by this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." The Israel of God. The two nations on either side of the church, but above, on the right and the left, are the Nazism that is arising on the right and the left. People were very surprised how supposedly Republicans, supposedly right-wing people, sided with the left. That's because those demons have entered into them. And we know what those demons are. We've been dealing with them. So let me go to something else here that's very important that I want to make a few comments on. I posted recently this UN General Assembly overwhelmingly supports Palestinians in historic votes. I'd like to add a few comments to that. I've been watching everything come together here, and it looks like it's going to shortly all bring the tribulation. The one thing I have told you was coming and was happening behind the scenes, because I knew that all this had to happen together. You know, you can have Pharaoh now chasing the people of God to the Red Sea, having told them they could go, later changed his mind. I mean, there was concession speeches, right? Told him they would let him go, but then changed their mind and decided they didn't have a right to go. So they're using everything they want out there to come against any kind of truth, honesty, democracy, whatever cheating that they can do, you know. And so this taking from Israel and giving to the Palestinians is something that the one world beast wants to do. And they, you know, and so we're seeing, I was saying this was coming because it fit with everything else. We know that going to the Red Sea, there was a change of administration, right? There was a Pharaoh who died and another one who took his place. There was a change of administration for the church, because now, with this drowning in the Red Sea, there was no other administration for the church, the people that are going through the Red Sea, but Moses. And Moses went through the Red Sea, which Paul called baptism, which is a death, burial, and a resurrection. So we're talking about the resurrection of the man-child and Trump going in as president. We learned that these two things are running parallel. And where do they meet? Well, they meet right there at the Red Sea, where on the other side is the tribulation. The Bible says in Revelation 12, the wilderness is the tribulation. Revelation 17, the second 3.5 years of the tribulation. So we're seeing those things. So this thing is awesome that's come forth here. It's the thing that we're expecting. And let me read a little bit of this and share some thoughts with you, okay? UN General Assembly overwhelmingly supports Palestinians in historic votes. New York. The United States and Israel, along with a handful of tiny island nations and Justin Trudeau's Canada, were abandoned by the rest of the world in a raft of resolutions that were overwhelmingly passed in the United Nations General Assembly on Wednesday. Okay, in one vote, the Jerusalem Resolution, numbered A71-1.22, the world body, in reference to Jerusalem and its holy sites, resolved that, quote, any actions taken by Israel, the occupying power, of course, historically, the land does not belong to the Palestinians or the Philistines. It belongs to Israel. Okay? The occupying, and all this is a parable for us, you see. The occupying power to impose its laws. Any action taken by Israel, the occupying power to impose its laws, jurisdiction, and administration on the holy city of Jerusalem are illegal, and therefore null and void, and have no validity whatsoever, and calls upon Israel to immediately cease all such illegal and unilateral measures. Okay? Israel and the United States managed to recruit just five other countries to stand with them in opposing the resolution. They were Canada, the Marshall Islands, population 53,158, Micronesia, population 107,154, Nauru, population 9,267, and Palau, population 20,879. Now give me a break. This is all they could convince to oppose this thing. All the rest of them, or the major portion of the rest of them, was for it. Okay. No, I don't believe it. I mean, these nations that stood for this thing always have been arm-twisted by our government, and voted against it to a large part, and this is not according to the history that we know that leads up to this point. Let me say that in the last year and a half, proposed resolutions to take Israel's historic land and give it to the Palestinians, the Obama administration has been in on the planning, and it is ludicrous to believe that he is against this resolution. What's going on? Well, it appears he has found a convenient way to not take the blame for what is an unpopular stand in the United States against Israel. And all one has to do is do a search, Obama, UN resolution, Israel, and they would see the truth leading up to this point. It could be that he is awaiting the results of their attacks on the electors, which I feel is going to fail because we prayed against it, and the vote recount, which is going to fail because we prayed against it, before tarnishing his image in this way, on his way out, by the way. My guess is before Trump takes office, we will see Obama move against Israel, and he will use this to stand on. At the Red Sea, there was this change of administration in Egypt just before Israel went into the wilderness, which Revelations chapter 12 and 17 call the tribulation. The tribulation starts with a UN covenant against Israel, with judgment falling on the nations, calling for this peace. They're calling for peace and safety and sudden destruction, right? Judgments like the Red Sea drowning, with the parting of the United States, which we've been promised if we divided Israel, and by the way, other nations too would be involved in this, this trouble, this attack on them. The parting of the United States, of course, happening because of earthquakes. And so the puzzle is quickly coming together. You know, Daniel 9:26-27 speaks of this covenant. First of all, in 24, it tells you, 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. 70 weeks will bring to pass all these things. But it's decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now, when Jesus came, the people changed. He broke them off of their olive tree. He grafted in the church. And he said in the end times, of course, that Israel would be grafted back into their olive tree. Okay, so the people changed, and the holy city changed. After Jesus was crucified, it wasn't called the holy city anymore. Okay, oh yeah, people call it that, but it's not, and it's anything but holy, according to Paul in Galatians chapter 4. It's anything but holy. Almost all of the people there are pagans. They're not even, don't even have any religion, even though they might have been raised in Judaism. And the rest of them don't like Christ or Christians. So, I mean, of course, there's the political factor. They, of course, want the favor of the Christians. But in general, okay? So there was a change. Now, I want to tell you something. The 70th week, which is the one that we have left, is determined upon the church. As the Bible is clearly stating, and I'll just read you 26, it says, "And after 62 weeks shall the anointed one be cut off." Yes, that happened at the hand of the Roman Empire, if you know, being pushed by the harlot Israel, cut off, "and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And even unto the end shall be war, desolations are determined. The prince that shall come." Now, we know that Titus was a prince that came, you know, at the head of armies. But there was another prince that came, and that was the prince of the Roman Empire. And we know that because when you read chapters 9 and 10, it talks about the prince of Greece, the prince of Persia. These are talking about principalities. They're not talking about men. Okay? So, whoever this prince is, look what it says in verse 27. "And he," that is the prince, the one that destroyed the city in 70 AD, 2,000 years ago, the one that crucified Christ over 2,000 years ago, and now it says, "And he," the same one, 2,000 years later, "shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and upon the wing of abominations shall come one," that is one abomination, "which maketh desolate," which is, of course, the mark of the beast. Because when you take that, God leaves, he departs, it is reprobation, and this is an abomination that maketh desolate. Okay? "And even unto a full end, and that determined, shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate." The desolate. So we see that the Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire, which Daniel saw back there at the thighs, and went actually all the way down to the toes, which is the 10 kings, in our day. So we know it is a... Some people say there is no Roman Empire. That's crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. The 10 toes are here. The 10 continental divisions of the earth are in the UN right now. And the 7 heads, which are the 7 world-ruling empires that ruled over Israel. Okay, and or God's people, let me say, because it past the Roman Empire, it also ruled over the world people, because now it is a worldwide Roman Empire. The iron and the clay, worldwide Roman Empire. And so the UN is the one that's making this agreement right here. They're agreeing with many to command Israel to give up their land for peace. So, I mean, if you just do a little bit of research, I mean, like I said, do a search for Obama, UN resolution, Israel, you look at the history of this thing, you know that Obama's behind it, but the UN has to make this. The UN has to make this because that's the beast. Obama's not the beast. The UN, seven heads and ten horns, is the beast, not Obama. I don't see seven heads on him. I don't see ten horns on him. Okay? Just do a little search. You know, here's one. Arab-Israeli conflict, UN General Assembly supports resolution ignoring Jewish ties to the Temple Mount. Okay? Here's another one. Obama to enlist anti-Israel UN in last-ditch effort for Middle East peace, Jerusalem. Here's another one. Obama administration, a UN resolution that would divide Israel and Jerusalem, is back in play. Now, these are leading up from the last year and a half, leading up to this day, okay? Obama rolls out plan to use the UN to circumvent Congress on Israel. Something else coming in September, a UN resolution establishing a Palestinian state. That was in 2015. The last two of these were in 2015. But all this is a history that tells you that he's been pushing it. But the UN is the one that is making this. Now the UN, the beast, is guilty of this covenant. Okay? You say, is this the final version? Oh, I don't know, but it's so close. It is so close. Let's see. I'm going to finish the article here. 147 member states voted for the resolution, including all European nations such as the United Kingdom, Germany, Russia, and France, even Italy, which has a strong relationship with Israel, voted for the resolution. Listen, these nations would not have done this without Obama's approval. They just wouldn't have done it. Okay. Australia abstained, as did Guatemala, despite the Guatemalan president's visit to Israel earlier this week. Panama's population, 3.9 million. Papua New Guinea, 7 million. Paraguay, 6.8 million. Vanuatu, 286,000. Also abstained. So just a few abstained. In all, six resolutions were tabled, all condemning Israel and supporting the Palestinians. For goodness sake. And it was not their land. It never has been. Wednesday's session was held in commemoration of the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people, which is held on November the 29th each year. November 29th, 1947 was the day the United Nations voted to partition Palestine to form two states, one for Israel and the other for the Palestinian people. The Jerusalem resolution called on Israel to show respect for the historic status quo at the holy places of Jerusalem. The resolution urged all sides to work immediately and cooperatively to defuse tensions and to halt all provocations, incitement, and violence at the holy sites in the city. And, of course, you know they've never done anything when the Palestinians don't keep this and they don't believe in telling the truth. It's according to their religion, don't you know? Okay? So how can you make an agreement with somebody whose very religion tells them to lie to the pagans? I'm talking about the pagans to their religion, right? So, resolutions A71 1.18 and A71 1.19, the first in the series, pledged respectively to support the UN's Committee on the Exercise of the Inalienable Rights of the Palestinian People. They're invaders. They always were. The Philistines, the Edomites, they came in there when the Romans came in and conquered, and they always put them in a position of authority. But they were aliens. They were invaders. The people who owned the land is the Jews. God gave it to them. It's in the Bible. Right? So, in its efforts to end Israeli occupation, and who was it that was occupying when the Roman beast first made this mistake? Well, that's right. the Palestinians, the Philistines, and extend member states cooperation with and the support of the Division for Palestinian Rights of the UN Secretariat. Draft Resolution A71 1.20, also adopted on Wednesday with 153 votes in favor, 7 abstentions, and 7 votes against, aims to disseminate information on the Palestinian narrative of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In other words, propaganda, okay, as well as on all the activities of the United Nations system relating to the question of Palestine. There isn't a Palestine. The resolution also states the need to organize and promote fact-finding news missions for journalists to the occupied Palestinian territory. In other words, get some propaganda in there. Come on. Including East Jerusalem and Israel. In resolution A71 1.21, the General Assembly calls for the peaceful settlement of a question of Palestine. It also calls upon Israel, the occupying power, to comply strictly with its obligations under international law, including international humanitarian law, to cease all of its measures that are contrary to international law and all unilateral actions in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem. Okay, so the beast is the one that's making the laws. Okay. The last resolution adopted by the Assembly, Resolution A71 1.8, adopted by a vote of 103 in favor, 6 abstentions, 56 votes against it, demands that Israel withdraw from all of the Golan Heights up to the line of June 1967 and hand it over to Syria. Today's resolutions, this is by Danny Dannon, who told the General Assembly Wednesday. Today's resolutions are yet another example of the daily bias Israel's faces in the UN, at the same time that Israel is celebrating the historic decision to reestablish a Jewish state in our homeland, the UN continues to fund organizations and pass resolutions that do nothing to better the lives of the Palestinians. Palestinians, by the way, would rather live under Israel. Many of them would rather live under Israel than go over there under Palestinian rule. They get treated better. The Israeli ambassador to the United Nations said this. That was Danny Dannon. He went on to say, the raft of resolutions damages the prospects for peace. All parties to the conflict have responsibility to end the conflict, he said. The Palestinians reject every Israeli offer and every plan and respond with waves of violence and terrorism. That's the truth. It's a sad mess, okay? Now, let me change the subject just a little bit. These same Nazis are doing things that would never have been accepted just very recently. If you type in Trump assassination, you'll be shocked what you come up with. Page after page after page of it, you know? Just a list. Twitter erupts calling for Donald Trump to be assassinated. Why isn't the assassination attempt on Donald Trump bigger news? I mean, obviously, it's against the law. Nobody's doing nothing about it because we have a lawless government, right? Donald Trump's assassination fears ISIS. Donald Trump will be assassinated before he can start a revolution. Well, that's not according to our laws at all. They can't do that. They have law. Okay. Assassination threats against Trump flood Twitter, New York Post. What are the chances Donald Trump is assassinated in office if he goes in, I guess? Texas high school students fake Trump assassination. Snopes. Dark net site takes donations for Trump assassination. How can you get away with that? Okay. Trump assassination threats mounting on social media. Where's all this coming from? These demon-possessed people, these are the ones that the Satanists at the head of our government are practicing witchcraft against and sacrificing children and committing pedophilia And by the way, this is spread throughout Europe and the East too. It's just a nutty thing. And that's just one page on Google. There are 10 pages that come up when you type this in. 10 pages. Can you imagine that we have such an evil and lawless world? Can you imagine? Okay, here's one, the Inquisitor. Donald Trump assassination donations allegedly taking place on the dark web. Donald Trump assassination donations are reportedly currently being received on the dark web, also known as Darknet, according to a report from CSO, an affiliate of IDG, Internet Data Group Enterprise. A link for the donation website is provided, though because it's only available on the dark web, the average Internet user will likely have trouble accessing it. And there's a picture of Donald Trump and Assassination Fund and a jar there taking up donations. Vice President-elect Mike Pence's assassination is also allegedly being called for by the website creators. And according to the report, it appears that the group's justification in asking for Donald Trump assassination donations is that they believe too much power in the hands of Trump and Pence will have a devastating impact on the country. Yeah, it would set people free. I mean, you know, here's a quote from it. As you are all well aware, the consequences of having Donald Trump and Mike Pence as the leaders of the free world, but it's supposed to be the free world and they don't like freedom, you know, is extremely dangerous. The political, environmental, and social consequences will change the U.S. for the worst, the website says. The author of the message does not provide any information to support his or her outlook regarding a Trump presidency, but the message is not something that the general populace has not heard before. Prior to Election Day, Donald's main opponent, Hillary Clinton, said she thought he was the most dangerous person ever to run for president of the United States. I disagree. I'm quite sure she is, and she's a Nazi. As reported by UK's Independent, of course, Clinton never advocated for a Donald Trump assassination. I think she did comment something about that. And of course, all this stuff is out there to just reach one crazy that'll go do this, right? You know, it doesn't take much to tip some people over the edge. Nowadays, there's a lot of people on the edge, you know. The donation website features a symbolic image of a Donald Trump assassination as a photo of the president-elect is shown with a see-through bull's eye overlay, as if you were looking at him through the lens of a sniper's rifle. Whoever penned the main message on the donation homepage claims to be a part of a network of elite government and law enforcement individuals who wish to see a Donald Trump assassination through to the end. He or she writes that, unfortunately, in order to successfully execute the plan, a great deal of money is required for assassination-related paraphernalia and services, as well as for purposes of extortion. They just tell you what kind of people they are, a bunch of Nazis, right? Visitors of the domain are given the option to pledge money anonymously through though this begs the question, does anonymity really exist on the Internet? Does it exist on the dark web? The platform accepting Donald Trump's assassination donations is Bitcoin, and CSO determined that since March, this specific cause has taken in upwards of $88,000. However, it's noted that I'm quite sure, first of all, that there's somebody out there that if they knew that this was popular enough, they'd just go out and do it for nothing, just to be the hero, you see. And besides, you know how Nazism took over the minds of people. And that's exactly what this thing is doing. Look out there and watch them. These are demon-possessed people. And they're burning down the forests, beating up on people because of the way they voted. Like, you don't have any right to do that in the United States, right? Going on, it says, however, it's noted that just $119 has been pledged since the website's creation about a week ago. Steve Reagan and the, let's see, am I going to read all this? No, I'm not going to read all this. Okay. Now, here's another one. This is another false flag. I mean, obviously, this is a false flag to assassinate Donald Trump and the people around him. Okay? I'll share it with you, and you can pray about it. This is a Clinton-Merkel plot to bomb Trump inauguration exposed by top German spies. Okay? This is by Sorcia Fall, as reported to her Western subscribers. I got to tell you something. I used to not even go around that site very much, but they've been bringing forth a lot of truth lately that's proven to be truth. So I know that they've got a lot of foreign intelligence services feeding them information, including the Kremlin. I'll read it. An astonishing Foreign Intelligence Service, SVR, report circulating in the Kremlin today says that Germany's Militärischer Abschirmdienst, with the abbreviation MAD, M-A-D, has exposed a plot devised or engineered by the leftist atheist Chancellor Angela Merkel and former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to bomb the January 20th, 2017 inauguration ceremonies of President-elect Donald Trump and place the blame on Islamic terrorists from Syria. Okay. And that Deputy Foreign Minister Mikhail Bogdanov informed the Trump team about within the past hour, but with his only stating publicly, these are different people whom we have known for a long time already. Okay? They are different. They are very different than anything we've ever had running for the presidency, and in Europe and Germany too. And that person, I mean, she was a Nazi. She was a part of the Nazi Party. And this one over here is too, the new Nazi Party. According to this report, both Merkel and Clinton have long been opposed to the rapprochement between the U.S. and the Russian militaries in regards to their fighting against Islamic terrorists in Syria, which President-elect Trump favors. Well, of course, they're behind it. And who is supported by the U.S. Pentagon's Joint Chief of Staff, who have indirectly been providing the Syrian military with intelligence on Islamic extremists via Russia in their fear that the Obama-Clinton regime's agenda to oust Bashar Assad would engender total chaos in Syria and, if not outright, cause World War III. So our military people know what's going on, and they're helping the right side. With Merkel and Clinton planning for the dawning of a new female world order, this report continues, German military analysts at MAD became alarmed and alerted when Chancellor Merkel ordered the Federal Ministry for the Environment, BMUB, to wire transfer $4.8 million to be international money laundering organization known as the Clinton Foundation, just 5 weeks prior to the November 8th U.S. presidential election. And there's a picture there. The Clinton Foundation may be the world's biggest money laundering scheme. I would say so. And their analysis investigation of Merkel's transferring this money to Clinton, this report notes, MAD military investigators discovered that this illegal payment to the Clinton Foundation had been approved as legal by an official at the Federal Office for the Protection of the Constitution, the BFV. The BFV officials who illegally approved this transfer of BMUB funds to the Clinton Foundation, however, this report continues, had only been employed at the ministry since this past April of 2016, with his previous employment being with Deutsche Bank, and who was also the official when he worked at Deutsche Bank that authorized the payment to Clinton of $485,000 in what was designated in this bank's accounting ledger as a speaking fee. For reasons still not yet determined, this report says this former Deutsche Bank official who approved Clinton's speaking fee was granted a special security clearance by Chancellor Merkel's office and infiltrated into the BFV, whose actions, movements were continuously monitored by mad military intelligence agents. And then there's a picture here of Angela Merkel in her communist uniform marching with her communist comrades. Okay. By MAD's monitoring of this Clinton-Merkel-linked former Deutsche Bank official, this report grimly notes German military intelligence analysts were able to discover his secret communications with Islamic terrorists, and that shockingly included a plan to bomb the headquarters of the BFV. Though the exact details of this Clinton-Merkel-Deutsche Bank spy's monstrous plotting with Islamic terrorists remain more classified than this general SVR report details, federal intelligence analysts do note that of the width or distance of the terror attacks being planned, not only included the headquarters of the BFV, but also the inauguration ceremony scheduled for the January 20th, 2017 in Washington, D.C., when President-elect Trump is due to take power. And this report, concludes by stating that this Clinton-Merkel terrorist spy has now been detained and handed over to the Dusseldorf prosecutor's office and has already made a partial confession for his many crimes, and that should now include attempting to assassinate an American president. Okay, so that's just one of many, you know, of people who have spoken up to assassinate this president. Now, I'm going to share this with you, which is some good news concerning this, I think. This is Merlene Laughlin's revelation, and we call it Trump's Angel. Since so many people have been praying for him, obviously God is not letting those prayers fall on deaf ears. Merlene said, "I saw this vision during our prayer meeting at the end of Thanksgiving Day. We were praying that the evil in our present government be brought down and the new leadership of our country centered around Trump would have wisdom and protection." Y'all did that too, I bet you, didn't you? Uh-huh. And you know how many prayers God has been answering. We've been asking him to uncover all of the plots and the schemes. And look at all this. We've been doing this before the emails and all that other stuff. We were doing this, weren't we? Praying that all the plots and schemes get revealed. And now the president's emails are out there on the web. Oh, my goodness. You know, I don't think God's going to stop, you know, the Angela Merkel and that scheme there. It's not going to stop. It's all coming out. And the world is seeing them as criminals. And they're seeing the media as criminals, because they're backing them up, lying, and they're getting caught time and time again. Mark Zuckerberg, or Zuckerman, lost $3.7 billion for CNN. I would say it's time for them to fire him and start all over. I would say MSN, you know, mainstream media, should be boycotted. Google, Facebook, any of the rest of these criminal organizations, they should be boycotted. And they're losing money, hand over fist. Something's going to happen. Either they're going to sell out or they're going to change their leadership to somebody that's acceptable to the common person out there. But anyway, you pray for this, right? You pray for God to bring down these criminals. And God will do it. He's been doing it.
He's bringing them down. I think this, I'm not sure, but I think this was within a month, $3.7 billion. And that's lost viewers. They're flocking away from them, going to the internet media, for goodness sake. You know? I'm saying God's doing this. We just need to pay attention.
Right.
And anyway, she goes on to say, Bill had just finished praying when I saw the following. It was nighttime. Darkness is covering the earth, and gross darkness the peoples, the Bible says. Yeah. It was nighttime. My eye caught a shine that showed at the top of the Trump Tower, Chicago, as a wide band of gold. And I got a link here that you can look at that, you know. Trump owns towers in Canada, which is Vancouver and Toronto, Vegas, D.C., San Francisco. And after looking at other Trump towers, the only one with the gold band is the one in Chicago. It is just north of the Chicago River, making it just a little north of the Loop. It has 92 stories, 339 guest rooms, 486 condos. Then immediately I was seeing from the inside of a room near the top floor. The corner of the room was directly ahead of me. The walls were glass walls that came to that corner. There wasn't any furniture, but I saw the movement of a man and thought, is that Trump? He was standing on the right-hand side, briefly looking out the window, seemingly in deep thought. Then he disappeared out of the room to the right. I then saw lights from the city. Then more lights, and a very large angel got my attention over to the left, outside the window. He looked into a window near the left corner and immediately turned around with his back to the window when Trump left the room and proceeded to stand guard. His head came to the top of the window and his feet I couldn't see. To me, the angel, in other words, he is a big one. To me, the angel was guarding Trump from any danger on the left. Yeah. So, we should pray for this also. I mean, God gives you promises like this so that you pray and you believe them and you stand on them, you decree them, and it comes to pass, right? Hebrews 1 and 13. But which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation? That's cool. And here's the verse that she got by faith at random. Ezekiel 18:21 through 23. But if the wicked turn from all of his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his transgressions that he hath committed shall be remembered against him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord? And not rather that he should return from his way and live? Well, I believe that this could well be speaking of Donald Trump. I've heard that he asked for prayer from people that he respects in the Christian circles. He asked for prayer often, and that he has turned to God. Some people scoffed at that. I was very suspicious myself. I saw one Bible code that said, he came to me. Kim Clement prophesied in 2007 that Trump would be in the White House and be spirit-filled. And Kim is not one. This particular prophecy in 2007 seems to be maybe almost correct. You know, we prophesy in part. But I've not been one to support Kim Clement. He was pretty much a prosperity person. But I've received other prophecies and revelations and words in our morning meetings and things like that that point out to me that, you know, most of what he said is correct. When a man does this, none of his transgressions should be remembered. As God said in this text, God forgives, but not like men, right? So, I mean, people, the news media points out his past, and that's just the pagan news media, but Christians shouldn't be paying attention to his past if he says he's done this. Now, you know, just to point out to you, I'm going to read to you Kim Clement's prophecy. Again, I don't stand behind a lot of Kim Clement's prophecies because they're prosperity minded. But I want to say this, that there's something was different this time. I was told that what happened was he normally prophesies as he plays a piano. He's a gifted piano player, or was. He's dead now. But this time, something was different. He stood up and he went and faced the audience and he prophesied this in 2007. Trump shall become a trumpet, says the Lord. Trump shall become a trumpet. I will raise up the trump to become a trumpet and Bill Gates to open up the gate of the financial realm for the church, says the Lord. Well, I would say back then that would have been an awesome miracle and pretty nervy of somebody to say, you know. For God said, I will not forget 9-1-1. I will not forget what took place that day. And I will not forget that the gatekeeper that watched over New York, who will once again stand and watch over this nation, says the Spirit of God. You remember, we got very good revelations and prophecies from people who had a history of being right, saying that because God's people humbled themselves and prayed, that He was going to send this mercy of putting Trump in office instead of the status quo, a bunch of murderers, thieves, liars, etc. Okay, people that want to kill Christians and have brought, according to prophecies and revelations, dreams, and have brought in their troops into this country to kill off the Christians and the people of this country to take it over for Islam. Okay. So, I believed all those threats. I believe that God changed and gave mercy because people cry, the right kind of people, let me say. If you remember the story of Haman, please remember this. It's not the nation that has to repent. In the story of Haman, we remember that Haman got an edict from the King of Kings, who represents there, by the way, the Lord, to destroy the people of God because they did not keep the king's laws, etc., etc. And so he had this edict and he began to put it in motion. That on a certain coming day, that the people who were obviously Haman's troops out there were to kill off the people of God. And who was it that turned this around? Was it the church? No. They were the ones that were under the threat. It was the bride who petitioned the king. And he gave the bride authority, and he gave the man-child, Mordecai, authority, Esther and Mordecai, authority to tell the people to stand against this threat. And they did. And, of course, it was overthrown. The church was the one under the threat, spiritually speaking, there. But the bride was in the king's house. And the man-child was, too. And they stood against it. So you're talking about the people who's, the people who got the petition from the King of Kings, and was given the authority, that was the bride and the man child. And now they turned around and gave the church, the people of God, the right to stand for their lives. And so you people, folks out there, brethren, parts, some of the bride, some of the man-child, some of the church, you've been praying and asking God and seeking the Lord, and He's been hearing your prayers. Okay? But the necessary one to start this was the bride. Okay? And I'll go on with this prophecy. And it shall come to pass that the man that I place in the highest office shall go in whispering my name. He better not do much more than that. But God said when he enters into the office, he will be shouting out by the power of the Holy Spirit. For I shall fill him with my Spirit. And when he goes into office, and there will be a praying man in the highest seat in your land. Okay. He's going to need some advice from the man child, just like it was with Daniel and Joseph, right? You're going to need some advice. There will be a praying president, not a religious one. We've had religious ones, and boy, they were stupider than the rest of them sometimes. You know, they were totally on the wrong side, you know. There will be a praying president, not a religious one, for I will fool the people. Oh, I mean, everybody's looking at Trump's past, and, you know, yeah, boy, he was a converter and all these things. He did a lot of stuff, but just like all pagans, he was having a good time, and he had too much money on his hands, and so on and so forth. But he says here, for I will fool the people, says the Lord. Yes, I will. God says, the one that is chosen shall go in, and they shall say, he has hot blood. For the Spirit of God says, yes, he may have hot blood, but he will bring the walls of protection on this country in a greater way, and the economy of this country shall change rapidly, says the Lord of hosts. Well, we're already seeing the economy change. A drastic thing has happened since he was voted in. And then he says this, listen to the word of the Lord, God says, I will put at your helm for two terms, he says. I still have my doubts about this part, because it may be prophesying in part. I'm not sure whether he thought maybe Trump was going to go in before now or not. But anyway, I will put at your helm for two terms a president that will pray. I'm personally of the opinion that it will be from 3 to 3.5 years, but we'll see. That will pray. But he will not be a praying president when he starts. I will put him in the office, and I will baptize him in the Holy Spirit and my power, says the Lord of hosts. Okay. It could be. It could be. And we hope so. We hope great things come from all this. In the name of Jesus, right? So let me just share a few things. This is boom. Trump rally carries stocks to new records, November 21st, 2016. Okay. So, is he changing the economy? I would say so. Are we out of the woods? No. No, we're not. Because the people that have the most charge over the economy are the elite. And without your prayers, they could very well bring about a false flag as far as crashing the economy. Okay? But first, let's talk about this. The post-election euphoria on Wall Street continues to grow. The S&P 500 climbed to all-time highs on Monday, notching its first record close since August. The index is now up nearly 3% since Donald Trump's election. The Dow also hit a new high, taking it closer to the 19,000 level. The NASDAQ, which struggled initially after the election, also rose to a record high on Monday, its first since September. Many predicted stocks would plunge or even crash, should Trump upset Hillary Clinton. Initially, that did happen, with overnight markets plummeting the night of the election. Well, the night of the election didn't prove that he was elected yet. And, of course, a lot of people thought that Hillary Clinton was going in there. Okay? So, yet, that freakout proved short-lived, with stocks racing higher on Election Day instead of focusing on fears that Trump could start a trade war. Investors are hoping the president-elect will unleash the U.S. economy by cutting taxes, rolling back regulation, and ramping up infrastructure spending. The basis for the rally is optimism about reversing Obamanomics. For goodness sake, it is the dumbest thing since Jimmy Carter was in there, for goodness sake. Raising taxes and increasing regulation, said Peter Baklavar, chief market analyst at the Lindsay Group. The rush to buy stocks has helped cause bond prices to tank dramatically, driving up borrowing costs for mortgages. The U.S. dollar is also now sitting at a 13-year high, making products sold by companies like Nike and Apple and AAPL and Tech 30 less attractive to overseas buyers. Pointing to the stronger dollar and rising borrowing costs, Buchfar said, one has to wonder how long this euphoria will continue. Well, I mean, people, when they have confidence, they buy, they spend, they keep economies going, right? And I shared with you too that what the Pew Research Center survey showed, that Trump supporters, 96% feel hopeful, and 74% proud of their presidential pick. And I, you know, because of the stocks and things like that, I would say that confidence is up. And this could have never happened if Hillary would have went in there. They also pointed out that Hillary's supporters didn't believe much would change if she went in there. So it was the other way with her. And I think it's just fantastic, you know, that God has turned this around. I do believe that there are people out there waiting to make Trump look bad, and that they will do what they have to do to try to bring him down and bring the economy down. First of all, they don't want the United States standing against the New World Order. They want total control. They can get it if they have a one-world government. It's hard to keep everybody else in line, as you know. You remember when Constantine, you know, was the head of the Roman Empire, and he had all these religions out there warring and fighting against each other, and so he made a one-world religious order because that's easy to control. You just control the people at the top, right? You bribe them, you threaten them, you do what you got to do. Okay, so he did that. It was called the Universal Church, the Catholic Church. Yes. And so, but with this confidence that people have, it's causing them to go out and spend and not be afraid so much. And of course, that is absolutely good for the economy. And let me see. I'm going to share something else with you. Okay, this is a prophecy. Now, we know prophecies can be changed, and because they're conditional. And God says so. And some people, of course, say that all prophecies that don't come to pass in the New Testament are just wrong, but that's not true. It's a lie. Prophecies can be changed because God changes his mind, just like he did right in front of Amos. You know, Jacob is small, how shall he stand? And the Lord repented. First he prophesied to Amos, and then he repented. And 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed, and he repented. Prophecies can, true prophecies are changed when people change their minds. I want to share this with you. Now, this is from a page, endoftheamericandream.com. And this is about John W. Johnson. Many people are talking about John W. Johnson right now is because of something that God told him in 1981. And here's a quote from that. When you see that the Berlin Wall comes down, and when you see the Soviet Union take a severe blow, and then it makes a recovery, and then you see the death of Fidel Castro, then shall come the collapse of the economic system of the United States. Well, we know Fidel just died. Some are celebrating that. Some are crying. Mostly the left are crying. And the people that came out from under him are celebrating. Boy, I tell you, it's just, we're getting polarized here, right? The Lord is doing this, you know. This is an extraordinary prophecy, and in it, Johnson was given five things to watch for, okay? And this was written by Michael Snyder on November the 27th. Amazing prophecy from 1981 says that the U.S. economy will collapse after the death of Fidel Castro. Okay? The first event was the Berlin Wall coming down, and that happened in November of 1989. The second event was a severe blow to the Soviet Union, and the collapse of the Soviet Union is generally regarded to have taken place in 1991. The third event was a recovery for the Soviet Union, and without a doubt, Russia is once again a major player on the world stage today. And the fourth event was the death of Fidel Castro, and that happened on Friday. So the only thing remaining to be fulfilled is the collapse of the economic system of the United States. Of course, no time interval was given in the prophecy. And the other events have been fulfilled over many, many years. So now we can really say how quickly we should expect to see the economic collapse according to this prophecy. And I might say that it might be done away with, actually, for the foreseeable future, because the government that God threatened us with, if we didn't repent, was the government that he is taking out because people prayed. And so, here's a situation we can pray about too. I'm personally still expecting them to attempt more false flags. We've already seen them do some. We've seen forests burn. We've seen attacks on the cities that they bust people in there, paid them to do this. That's a false flag, you know. I'm personally believing that they're even more desperate now. They don't want to see us get across the Red Sea without them capturing us. And so they're rushing down there, and they're going to do things to try to bring about martial law so that they can stay in office. They don't see any hope. They've tried all these other things, and everything seems to be failing. And they're not used to failing. I'm going to tell you why they're not used to failing is because they've had the devil on their side, and God has permitted it because of the sins of this country. They and all of the elite, this regime and all of the elite, are Satanists, and they've been exercising to keep hidden, to plunder the people, to destroy their enemies. They've been exercising Satanism and sacrificing sacrifices, in some cases human sacrifices, especially children sacrifices, in order to have the devil go out there and move for them. However, God has permitted it to bring us to this point, to bring us down and to bring us to this point. But he goes on to say, but without a doubt, this prophecy definitely got my attention, and here it is again in the context in which it originally appeared on Johnston's website. Around 1981, God gave me a prophetic word of knowledge. This is Johnston, right? That has been partially fulfilled. These events are time markers, and very soon we will see the fulfillment of the rest of this word. You can't ever really actually say that, because when God repents, I mean, obviously the economy was going to totally crash for their New World Order, underneath their New World Order regime that they had brought into power, which was never voted in the first place. Remember, I showed you that back in 2001, when they instituted this fractionalizing, that we haven't had a president put in office through voting since that day. These criminals have put them in there. Oh, yes, and seemingly people that we thought was from the right wing that we found out later were not right wing, they were put in there too, just to satisfy the people. But they were bought and paid for. And by the way, they're good friends today. I know Bush's and Obama are great friends. And they want Hillary in there. They've just come right out and said it. You'd have thought, oh no, these are the right ones. No, they weren't. No, they weren't. Anyway, I'll finish this. He said, these events are time markers, and the Lord told me the following. When you see that the Berlin Wall comes down, and when you see the Soviet Union take a severe blow, then it makes a recovery, and then you see the death of Fidel Castro, then shall come the collapse of the economic system of the United States. The Berlin Wall separated East Germany from West Germany for more than 25 years. The construction began on August 13, 1961. The wall was opened, and many sections of it literally knocked down on November the 9th, 1989. The Soviet Union is considered to have officially dissolved on December the 31st, 1991. That is when all official Soviet institutions had stopped to function in the different republics of the Soviet Union. The individual governments of these republics started functioning separately. The Soviet flag flew for the last time over the Kremlin. As you know, Fidel Castro is now a very old man at this time when he wrote this. Obviously, he's dead now. In his 80s, and his health is not well. Cuba could very soon see the death of its longtime dictator. And when you see Castro's death, then you will see the complete collapse of the economic system of America. And he goes on, needless to say, we need to use discernment when it comes to any prophecies, so on and so forth. Yep, we do. And he makes that point pretty strong. I don't think I need to go any more in that direction. Okay. So, very interesting. We could have another kind of a false flag. Like I say, the elite, they can put money into the market. They can take it out in such a way to cause a collapse. It's very easy for them to do. However, they are proving that their witchcraft is not keeping them on top right now. And it's because God's people have learned that they can pray and see answers. How amazing! How amazing! Because they always just left all this up to God and not really thinking that repentance and faith and taking our authority would cause something like this to happen. Yes, God always has means to an end. He is sovereign over everything, even the elite, even the devil, even Satanists. He is sovereign over them, and He uses them as vessels of dishonor, as His Word says. But He is sovereign over everything, but He is also delegated authority. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. People think, he couldn't mean that. Well, he doesn't really mean it for people who don't believe. It's kind of like these signs will accompany them that believe. No, because those people are most dangerous if they had that kind of authority, and they don't really believe it, so it's no problem. They can't do nothing, you know. But for people that do believe, they're dangerous to the devil's system. And that's why, of course, he raises up people in every case. When somebody is coming into the image of Christ, coming into the authority of Christ, he raises up people to come against them, to bring them to their cross. Because these are the people, the devil's stupid. You know, let me just say, okay, he knows that we believe that God is sovereign, but he believes he has some freedom, and he's very foolish. He usually does something that destroys himself, you know. He crucifies the people of God who are coming into the image of Jesus Christ, and they become somebody that can do him in by his crucifixion. He did the same thing with Jesus. Made the biggest mistake of his life, of his sorry life. You know, he created something through the crucifixion that he couldn't handle. See, he's not omniscient, and he's not his wisdom is corrupted, and he really thinks he has an internal thought that he can win this thing. You know, he's not fatalistic. The devil thinks he can win, or he wouldn't even try. And he thinks that he can raise up the nations and overthrow the king, and that's a delusion that God has let him have. Because what you sow, you reap. He has reaped deception, so he's therefore, he sowed deception, so he's therefore reaped deception. See, that's what happens. It's a universal law that God has put out there. So the devil is foolish. He thinks he can win. He was very sure he could keep America under the thumb and bring destruction to the Christians at this time. But as I said, the Lord was putting it in my heart for some time that this is too early. This is too early. The beast makes war on the saints in the middle of the tribulation period, not at the beginning. So there was a conflict in my mind with what I was seeing and what I knew the Scripture said. And so when this came along, I knew it was the answer to the conflict. That, well, okay, it's not going to happen now because God is going to have mercy. We are going to have a revival. As you know, at the Red Sea, there was an awesome revival. As soon as they knew they were free from Pharaoh, they had a party on the other side of the Red Sea. And they were free to go into the wilderness. And as you know, Jesus brought people into the wilderness, not under the nose of the Pharisees and all the people that wanted to kill him. In order to teach against them, he brought them in the wilderness. He taught them. He multiplied the fishes and the loaves. And there was a great revival. And it was started by Jesus himself, the great revival. And this revival is going to be started by the man-child. And it should come, if God says so, when this parallel comes together of the man-child coming into office and Trump coming into office on the worldly side. Of course, the man-child, as we know in Scripture, is an advisor. Not saying that all of the body of the man-child will be an advisor to the worldly administration, but a spirit-filled man will receive advice from, I would say, the new leadership that's coming down the road now. Well, the timing of this could be actually on the 20th, if he takes office at that time. The only reason I say that it might be on time, I do believe that this president, this administration, they're looking for any kind of way to either have a false flag to do away with Trump, or just outright assassinate him. It's all over the internet. Bring us under martial law so that he can do away with him that way. Bring us under martial law so that the election doesn't come to pass. The installment doesn't come to pass. It doesn't happen. Okay? The only reason I say it might is because we've had a couple of words that seem to say that Obama's not going to finish his tenure. And that's up on the 20th. So I'm thinking, okay, if everything that we're seeing here comes to pass, the man-child could be coming at that time. The earthquakes could be coming at that time. The change of in administration in the world could be coming at that time. Because let's face it, America's still at the head of the heap. It's the head of the beast, you know. So Donald Trump is not going to be just promoted over the United States, but in many ways over the nations. Because, I mean, if America leads the way of this economic short-term, I should say, recovery, the world is going to be looking to the United States. And this time period, remember that when Jesus, for 3.5 years, he had relative peace with the beast. It wasn't that they were out trying to kill him constantly the whole time. He had a relative time of peace in order to bring the people into the wilderness, to raise up his disciples as apostles, to go forth and to raise up the fivefold ministry, which he did. Now we've got a bunch of fake ministries out there that have to fall by the wayside, much like Saul falls by the wayside when authority is given to David. The people went to David when they saw Saul was dead and his clan was dead. They went to David. The people followed David. Now, we've got a Saul ministry out there. We've known about it for many, many years. The Lord has identified them as that. They're stubborn. They're rebellious. They're into witchcraft. They do the same things that Saul did. They don't obey the Lord. And, of course, they're being brought to death. I don't say that it's necessarily a physical death, but a death that the people will recognize that they are dead. There's something really seriously wrong with them. They have no answers for these days that we're going through and don't know how to go into the wilderness. And suddenly the man-child shows up with signs and wonders and miracles, and the people turn to him just like they did back in Jesus' day. And there's a great revival. In fact, like in Jesus' day, the things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun, as the word of the Lord says. So we're seeing a repeat here. And, you know, it will be the end of the Babylonish Empire. Not that Babylon itself will be done away, because remember when Cyrus came into Babylon, the leadership of Babylon changed, but it was still Babylon. So if that bothers you, just think about that. It was still Babylon. The leadership changed. The Medes and the Persians took over. And, of course, Cyrus put Darius up there, but it was him and his army that did the conquering and was the real leadership. And so, wow, you know, we could be coming to something big. The only other thing I could think of that would seem to be a very noteworthy inclusion is if Planet X showed up. Boy, there's a lot of sightings. Most of it's pure baloney, and I'm sure that the government is probably contributing to all that. But if Planet X showed up and the destroyer passed over, just as the people went out to go to the Red Sea, the destroyer passed over and of course, it brought death and destruction. And we know that that this Red Sea experience could explain what we've heard of prophecies that point out that rocks will come in from space, two landing in the Atlantic, one in the Gulf, sending a tidal wave right up the Potomac and taking out the leadership of the government. And, well, you know, and then, of course, that's the first earthquake right there. The second one would be the New Madrid, which is 3 days later, I think, 3 days later, because there was a great earthquake on the death of the man-child. Of course, you know, Moses was in the Red Sea there. You know, there was a death and a resurrection because it was a baptism, death and resurrection. So there was a death of the man-child with the first earthquake and a resurrection 3 days later. And I think that possibly the resurrection 3 days later is the New Madrid going off. And, of course, that resurrection will see signs and wonders and miracles to begin very quickly this revival, such as Jesus did in his day. Of course, this is Jesus in this day, coming in the body of a bunch of reformers to reform the church, to rebuild the church. And as you know, Cyrus came in to set the people free to go back and rebuild the kingdom, the city of God, which is exactly what we're talking about, the kingdom of God. And of course, the head of the city of God was David. In one parable, and of course that he represents the man-child. And Jesus in this day is coming in a body of people, a first-fruits people, just like before. He came in the body of a son of David, a first-fruits person, right? And so all of this is fitting pretty neatly together. This part that we talked about, the covenant today, whether this is the final thing or not, I don't know, but I suspect that Obama's going to join right in there with the rest of them very, very quickly. And I say that I believe he's still going to try to stop the people from crossing the Red Sea to freedom. And I believe he'll do that. He and Hillary will do that with false flags, possibly with an attempt on Trump, which will fail because we're going to pray against it, right? And we've asked the Lord to show us everything before they do it. And boy, God, you know, one of the best ways to stop something from happening is tell everybody about it ahead of time. How can you get away with it and how can you hide it when everybody's being told about it ahead of time? So, don't think that this stuff was all wrong when it may very well have stopped something from happening because the culprits suddenly couldn't hide anymore. Okay? So, be happy, church. Be happy. Be joyous. Give thanks unto our living God, you know. Don't worry so much. Be at peace. you know, recently we've received in our morning meeting exhortations to grace because it seems like he was correcting some people for getting under the law. Let me say there's a balance here, you see. Why do I say that? Well, you know, a lot of people, when they're working very hard at getting ready, it's pretty easy sometimes for the devil to get them into the flesh. Working very hard to try to bring things to pass. And pretty easy for the devil to trick you into legalism then, that you've got to do this, you've got to do that to get ready. When God tells you that if you don't stay in the rest, you can't make any progress in the Lord. If you don't stay under salvation by grace through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus, you can't be justified. If you can't be justified, you can't be sanctified. And you can't make any progress towards Christlikeness if you forget that you must hold on to your faith. Even though you're exercising repentance and faith against every enemy the Lord points out to you, if you get under legalism, I must do that, I must do this, you will start losing ground immediately. You must hold on to your faith. Yes, repent. Yes, confess. Every time you see these things, confess your sins and then go right back to confessing God who took them away. Right? Don't forget this. Keep your mind. We have a book called Speak Grace, Not Condemnation. And it's to train your mind to never give up on grace. Always give thanks to God. Always give praise to God for what He's done. He's delivered you. He set you free. He delivered you out of the power of darkness. He healed your body. He healed your mind. He did it all. He delivered you from the curse that was passed on to you by your parents unknowingly. And so, you must hold on to faith. You're not accounted righteous.